Rihanna. She said something that was so amazing to me. And I was like, oh my God. She said, next time one of these women want to know all the details of the intimacies of your marriage, tell them, why do I need to give you the blueprint to my home when I've already renovated?
Ooh. Somebody going to cue me or do I cue myself?
Cue yourself.
Okay. Hey, we're back with another episode of season two of Let's Talk Off Camera. So let's get talking. Guys, today we are talking with actress, producer, and a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Kyle Richards. She is the name on everybody's lips.
We've been following this one.
Well, I mean, you've been following it more than I have because, as you know, I am behind in my episodes and I haven't even gotten to the reunion.
Okay, but I'm just going to tell you that Roz and I might chime in at certain times because we're chomping
good.
At the
I'm
bit.
Glad. I'm
we're
glad.
Chomping at the bit.
No, I'm glad because, I mean, I am way behind.
You know the big part.
I do. I know all the big parts.
I mean, they've been married as long as you guys. Like, it's really sad.
So what's top of your mind?
With her?
Yes.
There's just so much written, so much assumed, and I'd like to hear just her take on it. First of all, with her sisters.
Right.
It feels like she bites her tongue a lot just to, like, keep peace.
Well, with everyone.
With her husband,
right.
Her sisters.
Correct.
Like, I just feel like she's always kind of taking the brunt just to avoid whatever will come for her after. I don't know. I'm just curious if that's just who she is as a person.
Is she the middle child or is she the baby of the family?
She's the baby.
She's the baby. Roz says she's the baby.
She's the middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about that relationship. Obviously, everyone's talking about her and Morgan, her friend, and I don't know if that's a relationship or not. It certainly feels like it's an emotional relationship, so I'm curious as to what she says about that.
Yeah, but I have an emotional relationship with you. That doesn't mean we're lovers.
I know, but like, they're really...
Although I'm open to it.
Here's the thing. If everybody was assuming we're lovers and it was all over the press,
I think some of the
would you feed into it more? Like, would you feed into it more and like come to my shows and like be like that much more supportive of me when the whole world is like under the spotlight of looking at us?
How dare you? I'm always at your shows looking at us. I'm looking at you right now.
Well,
you look,
Glenn,
you
say
look
goodbye.
Gorgeous. You look gorgeous right now.
Say goodbye. Oh, well, because we're leaving for, you know, our big show at the Oscars.
That's right.
Huge.
So anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
That's right.
Backstage in our little nook.
In our little, you and me in that
in
nook.
The nook.
Yeah, and I.
And now we've got Mark.
Although Mark would not mind.
What's served in the nook this
Mark
year?
Mark would think that's hot.
What's served? I mean, there's always tequila and champagne there.
And there's always gummy bears.
There's candy.
That certain people that come backstage think they're marijuana gummy bears.
No.
And we just let them think that. They're just pure sugar.
But every year, Seth wants a rotisserie there.
A rotisserie chicken?
That's a good one.
That'd be amazing if we had a rotisserie.
We're like,
chicken.
We should have little mini hot dogs. I mean, there's no room, but we're like, we should set up a whole like.
The one year Ryan was back there, so historically it's just been me. And might I say, Ryan came backstage, and there was like. There was food being presented to us from Jean-Georges. We had Jean-Georges in a chef's jacket.
Wolfgang.
Wolfgang, you're right.
Yes.
Forgive me.
And we're like, what is going on?
I literally am staring at him saying, excuse me, Chef Puck, we have no room for you back here. Take your silver tray and go. He made Ryan like a 15-course vegan tasting menu. And I looked at him, I go, we are working back here.
I can't wait to see Mark's reaction to like that space
he has,
and
no,
all of it.
He's going
to
be very triggered. I give him 18 minutes.
So he's in there
minutes.
With you guys?
Yes.
I give him 18 minutes before he leaves and goes to Vanity
but
Fair.
That cutout
that's
is
the,
like,
that's
that
T-minus.
Is small, is like the size of this, half the size of this table.
Correct. And well, we put like a clown car in there.
Now that we have two hosts backstage, now we're interviewing celebrities in the hallway. So we're taking an already unglamorous sitch and we're really making it do you remember? Seth, I know you remember last year. I was like, look at all these fascinating interviews of people standing in the hallway because they can't fit back there with both of us.
I'm
and
dead.
We, you know, Ryan and I are diminutive people. We are not large people.
What I love is
Mark's
when you walk past your cutout and you go into the wings are cavernous. They're huge.
Cavernous wings.
Cavernous, and but then, you're given a closet. Like they can easily, what's even back there?
Nothing is
nothing.
Back there. There's nothing.
It's cavernous. I walk back, I'm like, why is there things so small?
Okay, our lady is ready.
She's ready.
She's ready.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
You look so pretty. You look gorgeous.
I threw lashes on today because I texted my niece to do her podcast. She's like, well, I'm in full glam because I'm going to be getting content all day. And I was like,
so you're on a podcast tour. You're on a podcast tour right now?
Yeah. Well, just you and Paris today.
Do you watch her reality show? Do you watch any other reality shows?
I don't like reality television, to be honest. But I watch Paris's because I was actually very fascinated by that.
Yeah. I find it all very fascinating. I love reality TV because, well, I love certain reality TV. Like, I love The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I love The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I love The Real Housewives of New Jersey, but to me, that's too familiar. I'm from New Jersey. They all look like my cousins. It's all very familiar to me. I like to see a little glitz, a little glam. I like the big trips.
I don't like to watch the glitz and the glamour at all.
Well, because you live it, you're surrounded by it. Everything is like opulent real estate, elegant palm trees, and the rest of America doesn't see that. So I think it's like real escapism, but forgetting the fact that there are real lives and real people living their lives, or at least attempting to live their lives fully out in the open while trying to maintain, I'm assuming, some modicum of privacy. And that's where it gets so twisted, because now people only get their news from headlines. And then that becomes the story.
That is the most maddening thing. Well, first of all, having any, you know, bit of privacy in reality television, that ship sailed.
Right.
That ship sailed a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, every time something pops up, I just think, I just hope this person knows this is clickbait. I just hope this person knows this is clickbait. But so many just read that headline and keep scrolling.
Yeah.
And those are the stories that get, you know, cause the most problems in my life. And even with family, like there's been things that have popped up with my sister Kathy that I would see and think, I hope she realizes this is clickbait. And if she clicks on it, this is not going to be the story. That's not what it is. But I mean, even we fall into that, you know, we're just going through quickly. So it's understandable, but it's frustrating. It's funny though, because it actually even took me a long time to figure out the clickbait thing.
Right.
Well, because that wasn't really so much a thing before.
Right. It's become a thing.
I was obsessed with magazines always. I love to read. I love magazines. I would get on a, you know, a plane and my magazine sack would be like this. But because we don't have that anymore.
Right.
And that's how they're making their money, is people clicking on the link. Like, they have to do something to grab their headline. So
what were your go-to magazines? Were you like us at the live office up at the talk show? We would read Us Weekly. We called it the Bible. We didn't call it Us Weekly. We're like, did the Bible arrive yet?
It depends on what year. Because it used to be that People was always like the number one to me.
Right.
People. And then Us Weekly was like second. But then it wasn't so salacious then.
Right. It didn't used to be salacious. It was an entertainment magazine with more pictures.
Right.
Like, we liked that it required less reading. But it was still like a fun, lighthearted, feel-good magazine.
Exactly. And you didn't have to think as much as People. But then it was bought out by, I don't know, I forgot who bought it that owned
David Pecker or that, that like the National Enquirer people.
Yeah, like National Enquirer, whatever. Exactly. So then everything sort of could be kind of blurred. But when I really, like when we were first married, you know, we didn't have any money or anything. I mean, when I got the subscription to InStyle, I was like, I've made it. Okay. I get it every week. And then my best friend would be like, well, just give me the ones that you read. And then, you know, we would like share the subscription. You know,
I'm so pissed off. And I want to get your take on it, because there's like these accusatory headlines that Andy Cohen fosters a toxic or a hostile work environment. Now, I know Andy really well. I've worked with Andy. He's one of my best friends. I know you know Andy really well. Can you give me your experience working with him over the years?
Well, I also am angry about that, because I know Andy as well as I know him. You know, he's always made a point to keep his distance to a certain degree with the housewives. He has to. There's too many. You know, it gets messy for him. But I have only seen him be professional and, you know, thoughtful. You know, I said this season he checked on me more than ever to make sure everything was okay, that I was doing okay. I have never been pressured to drink on the show. I mean, I've certainly never seen drugs around any of this. I was just like, what is this? This is so...
I know him. I know him like off camera. I know him privately. We've traveled together. We've gone on vacation together. Like pre him having kids. You know, I've never seen a drug around him. It's like the most... I'm so offended by it. I'm so angry over it. I just, you know, because especially years and years, I try to get like dish out of him. Like, which housewife is a pain in the ass? Which one do you love the most? Who do you love? You know, and he truly loves you all equally.
Well, not equally, Kelly.
No, but he's like, it's like picking my favorite child. He's like, I won't do that. Like, I just won't do that because he really does value women so highly. He's somebody with a great relationship with his mother, with his sister. He's surrounded by women, all of his best friends, and he really values women. And right. So I found it highly upsetting.
It made me angry and it made me really sad because I feel like that's the time that we're living in right now. It's very dangerous to make accusations like that. It's not like it used to be.
Right.
So it really made me sad.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It made me sad and it made me angry. Now, you know Brandi Glanville.
Yes.
Why do you think she's saying what she's saying? Why do you think she's going after Andy?
Listen, she says it herself. How am I going to work now?
Right.
Basically, what happened with the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip has halted her career and she's needs to make money. So I think that's what... You know, I think that's what that's all about. Honestly, I mean, it's not like I don't think she can blame the show for drinking. I mean, her book is called Drinking and Tweeting. Like that's right. Her brand. That's what she is.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. But, you know, I think she's just angry and hurt. And, you know, she's someone who's like, how am I going to make money now? If she, you know, her main source of income was doing these reality shows.
Right. What is your relationship like with the women post-reunion? After that airs, is there a cooling down period? Does everybody go their separate ways? Are bonds formed that we didn't see before? Like, take me through the process of post-reunion. The cameras shut down, the false eyelashes come off, then what happens?
Well, you know, each season is different, obviously. Last year, before this past season we just shot, was the first time ever we've all just left. Nobody, we didn't do a cheer. Nobody hugged. Nobody went to have a drink or eat dinner after nothing. And that did not feel good. It felt horrible. You know, when I go into the reunion, I always am looking to clear anything up and have closure. And for me personally, I did clear a lot of things up. Of course, you're always like, oh, I forgot that point. Why didn't I remember to say that? You know, it's hard in the moment. And there are always women cutting you off. And then Andy's jumping to the next question. You're like, I just want everyone to shut up for a minute. Let me get my points out. But, you know, when I left there, I felt in a worse place with Dorit. Mm-hmm. I felt better initially because, oh, now I've seen her. I'm kind of breaks the ice and I'm feeling better now. And then I felt worse. And then later I saw that she read my text message on camera, which, you know, I have a rule. And in all the years on the show, I would never will repeat something someone said to me off camera or show a text that wasn't one of those group texts that sometimes they'll have us read in our interviews and stuff. Ever. I never have. Even with someone who could be perceived as my enemy. Never have, never will. So when I saw that, I cried. I cannot tell you. It was like a punch in the gut to me. It just really, really hurt.
Why do you think she did that? Do you think she did that to try to solidify her role in next season? It seems like a lot of times when somebody does something so
low,
low, dirty, nasty, I'm trying to find the diplomatic word for it. But when somebody does something like that, it's oftentimes because they feel their own security is in jeopardy. And then they've got this thing that somehow can revitalize their relevance.
That's what a lot of people were saying when she did that. And, you know, I just, as someone who knows her, I really thought, you know, I never thought she would do that. So I was left also to wonder what was her motivation behind that. because her whole thing was, you know, oh, you know, you're saying that we're not such as close friends as I claim to be. Well, do you think any one of my genuine friends would have done that?
No.
Do you think anyone that I'm close with in my personal life, forget camera, no camera, would read that? And the funny thing is that she said that it was manipulative. If it was manipulative, I could have called her a week before or 2 weeks before and been like, oh, you know, I miss you. Let's put all this behind us. Let's have lunch. No, that's not what I was saying. I was saying, I'm in a really bad place. I'm in a lot of pain. You know, we both are struggling right now. She's had her issues. I said, you know, we have a lot at stake here. Our families. I was being the complete opposite of manipulative.
Right.
I was being completely upfront about it.
You were being forthright.
Exactly. And to me, when she said that, I thought, well, that honestly says more about you than it does about me.
That's what I was just about to say. Have you spoken to her since?
I sent her a text saying, I'm shocked that you would do that. Never in 13 years, I've never had, even the worst of worst situations, I've never had someone do that to me. So.
And now Kyle will read the response. I'm just kidding. I know you won't.
I didn't even get a cricket emoji. No, nothing.
Oh, she didn't respond.
No. I tried to make the point in the reunion, which I don't know if that's tomorrow's, it was last week's, because I didn't watch last week's because that was really hard for me. And the season finale was hard for me to watch. I didn't watch that whole thing. I saw part of it in the dressing room at Watch What Happens Live, and it was just too painful. But I was trying to say that, you know, you have friends that are in different categories. You know, I love Dorit. I love PK. I love their family. You know, we have gone on two trips with our husbands together. You know, of course we do, you know, our trips on the show, and I do consider her, you know, someone that I love. She lives right up the street from me. I can walk to her house. But is she that girl that you know, is she your first text in the morning, or do you hang out at lunch, or do you work out together? You go on hikes and talk. No, we don't have that relationship, but that doesn't mean she's not important to me.
Right.
So when she said, I feel like I was replaced, I was like, we were not even in that. We were never like that. So why are you using a soundbite to hurt me just to have something to say? To perpetuate the story that's not even really true.
Tell me about your sister, Kathy Hilton, showing up at the reunion. Did you know she was coming?
Yes.
And Jan had a very interesting point because I am about 4 episodes behind.
Okay.
Which everybody knows not to really tell me anything, although I've got so many notes, so I've got spoilers all over here. Because Jan, Jan is obsessed. But Jan says when it comes to your sister and when it comes to Maurizio, you tend to, we think, bite your tongue. You swallow a lot.
I feel like you always like bite your tongue or won't say something just to keep the peace with your sister. And even like...
Correct.
Yeah, but I feel like that's been, explain to me why all of like Hollywood seems to be scared of her. Like, I don't get that being a New Yorker. Like, I don't
scared
understand.
Kathy?
Yeah, like everybody's terrified.
I think someone just said that. Maybe one person thought that. I have no idea. For me, I think it honestly is the youngest child syndrome, I'm going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a significant age gap, and she was, you know, very strong and kind of bossy. And, I, being the youngest, was kind of, you know, bossed around. And as I got older, I don't think I knew how to not be in that role. And I'm someone who struggles from anxiety. So if it's something that gave me anxiety, I just didn't want to get into it or just avoided it. And there's so much of that that goes on with the show. Like, you know, they would ask me certain things and I don't feel comfortable responding because I don't want to deal with the aftermath, you know, when the show airs. So I just get so stressed. And I'm somebody who, if I wasn't thinking about what my sister thinks and how she would react or what Mo would think or how he would react, I'm very open about everything. I'm very comfortable sharing, you know, who I am. And I have to watch and tiptoe about other people, what they're going to get upset about, not me.
I'm curious because you have daughters. Do you see your daughters in any way sort of like reliving traits that you and your sisters had, or is there a dynamic that is similar, or did you go out of your way to sort of avoid certain behaviors so that they would not be either competitive with each other or pitted against each other?
They could not be more different than my sisters and me. And I think that's a couple of things, you know, I do think my mom made some mistakes, you know, I do remember her like saying, you know, why don't you do this like so and so, you know, like to Kim or whatever, like, why don't you do what Kyle does? And, you know, things like that.
Right.
I think she thought that would give a little fire under them, under, you know, the right. girls. But my mom also did raise us like, you know, any, you know, success Kathy has or Kim has or Kyle has is a feather in all of her caps. That was an expression she always used. So I was never jealous of anything my sisters, you know, I was happy and proud always. Right. But with my girls, they love each other so much. They get along so well. They're all so different. They have so much respect for each other. It's crazy to me. I mean, Kim and I would fight. I would literally, she would dig her nails into me. I would be bleeding, dripping down my arm. I would bite her. There would be teeth marks with bruises. My yeah. kids have never laid a hand on each other. I was wait, how did that happen?
No, that's how sisters fight. I mean, sister, it's so unique. You know, my daughter doesn't know because she has two brothers, but I was like, you don't know what it's like to fight with a sister. Fighting with, like, her brothers, I'm sure, were terrified of her growing up. But, you know, back in the day, sisters fought like prize fighters. Like
literally pull your hair like this, yes. scratch, bite.
Yep.
But when my daughters weren't like that, I was like, that's so interesting that they never do that, even when they were little. But now they're each other's best friends. That's they're so all good. So close. They're really like all, you know, bonus moms for me. The three older girls help parent me with Portia. I always turn to them for advice, you know.
And what's your relationship with Kathy like now? Is everything okay?
Yes, we are in a very good place. And she has been
okay, that's good.
Very supportive. And, you know, she'll call me, text me, and I just love you. And I'm here for you no matter what. You're always my baby sister. And I got a voicemail. I don't know if I should share this or not, but these are one of these things that I just do. But at least I'm not playing the voicemail. But she left me a voicemail after watching the season finale. And it was just gut-wrenching. She was hysterically crying. Mm. And she just said, you know, I love you, and I want to make sure you're okay. And it was just so... She was so overly emotional, but she has been very, very supportive, you know, and I just wanted to stay that way. I was so yeah. worried this season. I had to send her a text saying I said things, you know, because we were in a different place and I felt more free this season. You know, people ask about my tattoos. There really was something like I'm letting go of everyone holding me back. You know, what you just said about how I don't want to rock the boat and I get scared yeah. to speak up, or I was like, I'm letting go of all that. With my husband, with my sisters, even though my mom's not with us anymore, with my mom, I'm letting go of all that. And I'm doing what makes me happy, what I want to do. And in that, I felt so free in the moment to say all these things. And then when we made up, I was like, oh God, help me. What do I do? And I was like, I said to our producers, well, now she's going to watch the show and it's all going to be ruined again. Like, I can't live through this. So I had to send her and my nieces, because they're a package deal.
Right.
A text saying, listen, I said things that's how I was feeling at the time. And I was really hurt. And you have to remember that we were in a different place then. Please, I can't go through this anymore. And if you are mad, just tell me. Please just don't not talk again for a year or two. I can't take it anymore.
Right. And did they respond? They were receptive to that. They understood.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it probably made them a little nervous once they saw, but,
I was going to ask you, would you ever want your sister Kathy back on the show? But now I'm going to assert that I don't think it's a good idea that your sister Kathy comes back on the show.
Well, last year she wasn't, a lot of people asked, but it really wasn't. I mean, what would be the point? We were in such a bad place. It would right. have been too difficult to, it's already hard enough to do the show as it is, you know, to add that into the mix. I mean, but it's different now. And I'm just so protective of our relationship. I'm so worried, yeah. especially now with what's going on in my life. Like I need my family, you know?
Yeah. I've got to tell you, very rarely am I surprised by something. Like, I'm never surprised. I am very hard to surprise or shock these days. But right. when the news broke that you and Maurizio had separated, I did something I never do. I sent the article to Mark. And I was like, oh my God, is this going to happen to us? Because we've been married the same amount of time. And I know, like, yep. people hang all of their shit on your relationship because your relationship is very public. And I guess in some way my relationship is public too. But it was one of those things where I was truly shocked by that headline. When can you give me insight or take me into when things started to fall apart? I mean, maybe fall apart is like a bad description, but when your marriage started to fray. Can you give me insight or take me into when your marriage started to fray?
First of all, I get so emotional when I hear people talk like that. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I did not mean to make you upset.
I know you've been married the same amount of time, and it's really hard. But it wasn't, you know, it was like, I think, you know, you probably, like me, have had things throughout your marriage that, you know, you guys will fight about now and then, and it kind of never goes away. Mm-hmm. You're busy, and you got your kids, and you know, I'm pregnant, I'm breastfeeding, I'm doing the show, I'm this, I'm that, blah, 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 you know, and then it comes up again. And then, you know, you may have an argument, you make up, whatever, and then you go on, and it keeps coming up type of a thing. So there was things like that in our relationship that never really went. I didn't ever see him fixing or doing the work, you know, that I needed him to do to fix these things that were, for me, very important. And, you know, so I didn't understand that. And then there was other, you know, things I would say a few years ago that I kind of like, you know, I said in the show, I lost my trust, and, you know, I really don't want to go into specifics, but, you know, I love him very much, and I love my family is the most important thing in the world to me. But, you know, I think it was that, and then combined with these other things that like, okay, you're not doing the work, and these are things that are important. These are like my needs, and, you know, I mm-hmm. need at least the effort. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was just, I just had a breaking point, honestly. And I think when I lost my best friend, I was just like, I mean, it sounds like such a cliche, but life is too short. Like, and you know I'm a good mom. I know I'm a good wife. And I don't want to do that if you can't make that effort. And like I said, I'm not doing this to put him down. It takes two people to tango. I know
no,
all that.
I don't think you're putting him down at all. I mean, I think from my perspective, it's very clear. I am watching you beg him to do the work, and it's not being received at all. It's almost like you're having separate conversations with each other.
Well, I started feeling like we're on a different page and we didn't used to be, you know? And I was like, you're not even hearing what I'm saying. I mean, I can remember, and I mean, meanwhile, as of today, right now, we live in the same home. This is my new bedroom, by the way.
Right.
And I've never said this, but the glam room is my bedroom now. I mean, I can't with my, and my bed is over there, but this is my glam. But we get along. But, you know, I just.
But like having said, like I'm listening to you talk about you're separated and living in the same house. That, like Mark and I could not do that. I just know if we separated, it would not be.
But you know what you can't do is leave. It's really hard.
Right, right, right.
I mean, I don't know any different. Like I've been married my whole adult life.
Right. Of course.
My first marriage, I was 18. You know, I had my first baby at 19, and I was only single a couple of years, right? And then I met Mauricio. So, but what we would shoot these scenes, and, you know, after I would say, the producer said to me, well, that was uncomfortable. And I'm close to these people, the camera guys, the sound people, you know, the producers, they've been living in my homes here with me, you know, living, right. You know, basically for 14 years now. And they're like, well, that was awkward. And we talked to each other like that. And I said that to Mo, and he was like, really? What do you mean? And I was like, you're not even seeing that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you're not seeing that, like, there's a very big disconnect here.
Have you had a conversation with him, like, since certain scenes aired where he clearly is checked out in some way? Yeah. Like, has he sat down and said to you, you know what, I just watched that, and I apologize. Has that happened?
He said to me, I didn't realize to the degree to where things were until I saw some of those scenes. And then he stopped watching because it was hard for him to watch. And listen, he's a great guy. You know, like all of us, you either love us or you hate us. People have, you know, all these big opinions about him, about me, about us. But he's a great, great guy. He really is. So I feel bad, you know, to say anything.
Right.
And he didn't want to address any of this stuff. But I'm right. like, what am I supposed to do that I have, you know, I signed up for this. And when you are signed up for this, there is that pressure to show what's really happening. You saw when I wanted to, I said, I'm going to tell the girls we're having issues. They were relentless. They right. wanted to know every problem. And I was like, you know, and I was already also still dealing with the loss of my best friend, you know? So I was like, guys, cut me a break, you know, like with what you just said, I get that. Cause I've been there. There was a couple that I really admired so much. And when I heard that they had split up or separated, I literally cried and I was so depressed and I really couldn't figure out what it was. And I was like, it's because I thought, could that happen to us too? But I thought that would never, ever happen to us, you know? Right. But with them, no, honestly, it was, you know, needing something to talk about and better to talk about someone else.
But not thinking about the emotional toll that it would take on you or the exhaustion or knowing you. And again, they know you better than I know you. I know you as an observer. But knowing you as a protective person, did they really think you were going to sit down and give them the minutes of every single fight?
Well, by the way, you know that if they had come to me in an off-camera, in a kind way, I would have.
Right.
I mean, my friends are my therapists. But the way they came at me, it was not from a loving place or a friend that said, do you need someone? You know, are you okay? Is everything okay? Do you need anything? It was unbelievable, honestly. It felt inhumane.
Kyle, it felt like they did know what was going on and they knew you were trying to be protective of it. And yet they kept asking you these questions to see if you would talk about it, knowing that you were trying to be protective. That's what felt bad about it.
Oh, and they also knew the other things that had gone in my life, not just my marriage, the other stuff I was dealing with. And then I was like, can you not give me some grace? Like, I mean, I said at the reunion, I said, I did not one thing to hurt anybody here. So why was I treated like that? Like, why was nobody there for me to lean on? Obviously, some more than others. When I say they, that happens to me too. I get lumped in and thrown in everybody. Right. But you know, obviously, we know who was driving the bus on that situation.
But also, like, you watched your husband's business, like, explode, right? And so every time he'd be traveling and opening up a new office. And in my back of my head, I was like, do they ever get to see each other? Like, it just felt like, you know, you can listen. We know being in this business, we get so busy and you can just like time can go by and you guys just are like passing ships.
Well, that's definitely one of the things. But I think that as we started to have that sort of disconnect, we allowed that more, which we didn't used to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like we had a synced calendar that, you know, well, Kyle's going to be here. Say, for example, I'm going to be in New York doing Kelly and Mark.
Right.
So you stay here. And then when I come back, let's make sure we have time together. And then you go to do your opening. And if I can come with you, I will. But like, it's like, you be here when I'm not, and I'll be there when you're not. But I always want one of us here because of Portia. She's the youngest. And, you know, I don't ever want to feel like she doesn't have, even though she's got her sisters and the ladies that work for me that are like family that have lived here for, you know, her life. But still, it's not, you know.
Take me through your daughters and their reaction, because news sort of broke.
When the news broke, when we were in Aspen, it was 4th of July weekend. And they could obviously feel that, you know, well, I'm not calling him love bean like I always had. I wasn't feeling that. So, and I'm not good at pretending. But once again, we're not a toxic couple. We never fight. So they could pick up on something, but certainly nothing that they were worried about. And so when that came out, it was a very big shock. And it was a shock even to me because I've never been in like the eye of a storm like that. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, our phones were blowing up. Like it was like actually scary how much our phones, news outlets, people that I'd gone to like elementary school with a message. I mean, it was just crazy. And so that was the initial like really big shock. And then it happened to be that the Netflix cameras were going to be there filming the next day. And they said, can we just get a little something talking about what happened yesterday? And that's their show. You know, I'm not on that. Bravo allowed me to make some appearances this year. They worked out a deal with Netflix so I could show up a little bit. And the girls were like, that's fine. I don't know if it's because they're used to it. And they're also very open like me. Uh-huh. So the conversation that we had in private, we did just like a version of that, to be honest, what they were comfortable with only, and only if everyone wanted to do it. Otherwise, I mean, it was like a whole conversation, you know what I mean? And they're like, we don't want to, you know, we're not leaving that kind of show. We just, you know, it's going to be out there and it seems like a weird missing piece. I don't, you know, so it ends up happening. Well, you can't have, when I've been showing my life for 13 years now, I can't have this story, you know, they can't have that story on Netflix and not with Bravo that's been following 13 years.
Right.
So then it's like, well, can we film? Then the cameras went back up. They're going to get the reaction to all the women and, you know, and then it's like, oh my gosh. So then it was, can we get a version of your conversation that you're comfortable with talking about type of thing? So everyone had to be on board. And, you know, I think people thought that we just blindsided our girls, but obviously it wasn't like that. We had what we were comfortable with discussing. And did I want to do that? Absolutely not.
I understand.
But
I understand.
I'm on a show that this, I signed up for this. And if I hear that one more time, I'm going to rip every last hair out of my head. But it's the truth.
It is. It's torture, though. It is. It's like, I always say timing is one of those things. Like, I have never been able to attend an event in peace.
I decline every invitation. Award shows, everything. I don't go. I just had to go to the People's Choice. I was actually asked by the network because I was nominated and then the show was nominated. They asked me to please show up. I even left before they announced the nominations. The same reason. People think I'm out all the time. I'm actually an introvert. I stay home all the time. Every time I do anything, it's a story and the headline messes with me so much and it causes me so much anxiety. Like, if I just don't go anywhere, it's just safer. So on top of being an introvert, it's scary. So I'm like, forget it. It's not worth it for me. But this is the life I chose, or my mom chose for me when I was 3 years old. So here I am. I don't have any other jobs, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
I really root for you. I have always rooted for you. I will always root for you. And I root for you and Maurizio and whatever brings you both peace. Do you engage in couples therapy? Is there a push to save the marriage? For you and Maurizio, do you engage in couples therapy? Is there a push to save the marriage?
Oh, yes. I mean, my gosh, this is not something I take lightly. You know, like, and especially that we love each other. If there was one big thing and we hated each other, I know this sounds terrible, but it would be so much easier. You know, I hear people say, ugh, my husband, I can't even stand one. Look, I'm like, I don't have that. I don't have that. We're not like that. And which made it so much harder. So of course we were in therapy and, you know, I think obviously being married so young and married all of our lives probably maybe has something to do with that. And I don't know, but, but he's definitely working on our relationship and ourselves individually.
He's putting the work in.
He's starting to.
Do you ever meet in a neutral third bedroom and just like get it on and then just go right back to your separate spaces?
No.
No.
When you first said get it on, I thought you meant like yell at each other.
That's no, no. I mean, like, do you ever like just meet like, listen, this is a no strings attached booty call, and we're just going to meet in bedroom four.
Bedroom four.
And that's where we're meeting.
No, there has not been. I mean, I'm somebody when my wall goes up, that's not it. Really. You know, that, yeah. So, but, you know, we in therapy, we have talked a lot through that. And I was like, I had been doing the work on myself, and then we were doing the work with each other. So now I'm like, now can you do the work?
Right.
On yourself. And then right. We all work on ourselves and who knows? But listen, he's my friend, he's the father of my children, and it's very sad to me. Of course I never wanted to be in this position. I am sure like you. I mean, did you get married in 1996? Didn't you?
96, yeah.
I always knew that we were married the same year.
Yeah, married the same year.
I never imagined that I would be in this position in a million years. I mean, I had such an appreciation, I still do, for my marriage. You know, I'm so proud because I came from a divorced family and my mom was married four times, I think.
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was always really proud. I was like, I am not going to be that person. We have such an amazing family. And it just goes to show you really just you know, you have to consistently be doing the work. And I would always say, you know, it's like a plant, you have to water every day. Mm-hmm. Like I said to him, you know, something was going wrong at the agency. I know you would tackle it. Like, don't let it slip away, mm-hmm. you know?
Do you think he hears that now? Is he hearing that?
Yes, I think he hears that now. And I think he also thinks, well, we're at this. Why am I literally, like, he would probably die if he knew I was talking. So I just, well, how much worse going to get? So
let's bring him in on the third Skype. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I see these headlines. Kyle said this and that. I'm like, what does he think about this? Can he get mad at me? What are you going to do now? Well. Like,
he would never get mad. I mean, you treat your entire family with such reverence that I think I actually think it's quite beautiful. And I appreciate this position that you're in. I think had you been, I don't want to use the word normal people. You are normal people. But had you been people not in the public eye, like, these sorts of things happen all the time. But because
we're in this position, if we weren't in the public eye, I don't.
Well, tell me why.
Too much going on in our lives. Too busy. Too mm-hmm. many outside right. forces coming in. You know, I just don't. You know, I said something once, and Kathy said the other night when I had dinner with Kathy, and she said to me, "I'll never forget when you said to me." And this sounds terrible. I don't even know if I was worded this the right way, but like, I mean, when we were married, we had no money. I mean, we were in a 2-bedroom apartment. When I had Sophia, we were still, that's my third child. We were still in a 2-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. And I said to Kathy, sometimes I wish we just had nothing still.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying to him, like, listen, if we don't make it, like, it's fine. We have each other. You know, like, we'll move to Vail. And you could be a ski instructor, and I will, like, just take care of the girls and, like, bake cookies, and I'll be a very happy person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was always the backup plan. But I was like, but just don't leave me in LA with nothing, because it's really not fun to be in LA and be really poor, let me tell you. So I was like, but we could go to Vail, and, you know, but I don't care as long as we have each other. And just, you know, thinking back, like, then it's like, you know, you're working so hard, and it's like, well, we have enough now. It's never enough. And then it's like, it's just, I think that you kind of lose sight.
Yeah.
You know?
So explain to me, because again, I don't click on clickbait headlines. I really don't. But it's constantly in the news feed about the woman, Morgan Wade, and your friendship with her. And can you mm-hmm. explain it to me? Jan seems to think that you have, what was your word
for? I think there's an emotional relationship going on. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. You've clearly stated you guys aren't together, but she's fulfilling some emotional relationship for you that maybe you're not having now. Would you say that's true?
Well, I think that, first of all, what we see on the internet is what people just choose to put out there. Mm-hmm. So I can have lunch with, or dinner with every one of my other very close friends, and you will never see that. So the perception is that I'm only with this person who doesn't even live in California, by the way. I mean, so I'm like, so that's there right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think it was timing, honestly, just because of what happened. You know, she has all the tattoos and everything. And because of the timing of, you know, after that story came out that we were separated, I think that they were just looking for something. They're latching on anything.
Internet sleuths.
Yeah. Oh, they're all right. Internet sleuths. And yeah, right. I mean, Mo was coming out of a restaurant in Aspen and happened to be walking out with somebody. And I know this because that's my other hometown. I know everybody there. He was literally there walking out side by side. And you can still see that it says that he's dating this person. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know who this person is.
Right. And he just happened to be walking next to somebody.
And then people are like, how could Kyle be speaking to Mo after he was walking out of this place with the girl? I'm like, oh my gosh. I had to just say, I'm like, I know. What are we going to do? There's nothing we can do. I mean, and then he was at a place, Cloud9 Aspen, they were spraying champagne. Not the smartest thing he could have done, but he wasn't with the girl that they were saying, the singer, which I can't remember her name, but she was there with her boyfriend and he's in all the videos. And then they're saying that he's dating her. And I'm like, oh my God. I don't know. So we just kind of tune everything out.
But you've had to have done that for years now, though. I think, like, when
not to this level. I mean, now it's a level where they're like hiding, you know, trying to sneak pictures, trying to find me doing something all the time. I have no idea. I mean, I did a road trip and I usually am pretty good about my, like, you know, my diet and exercise. They had a picture of me eating Taco Bell this all one day, ice cream, Starbucks. I was like, my God, can the woman have one day of eating like a normal human being?
Albert is very, Albert's jealous.
I'm starving. This sounds delicious.
But I mean, they're like hiding now, where I'm used to them being like, hey, Kyle. And you're like, hi, have a good day, whatever. But the hiding thing, when you don't know where they are, that's a creepy feeling. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to being stalked to that degree. And once again, just better not to leave your house.
Yeah. Oh, Jan has another question. Jan is like, Jan is.
I love you.
I've never seen Jan this excited about.
And live.
We've had a lot of guests on this show, and this is the first time Jan has been like, vocal.
But I feel like I feel some sort of kinship. Yeah. And by the way, I'm very sorry about the loss of your friend.
Yes.
I'm very sorry about that. But I do have a question, because you're like a fox and you're gorgeous woman.
Oh my God.
So my question is like, has anyone come out of the woodwork to be like, oh, I want to date you now that you're separated? Like, are people DMing you? Or are you getting the like,
guys?
I say that's a yes.
Come on.
That's
no,
a yes.
It's actually not. No, I have random people. Yes. I have men and women messaging me now. I mean, it's just so funny. But it didn't used to be like that. But no, not like any, you know, no.
And if it comes down to it, like, you know, if you guys end up going your separate ways, like, have you even contemplated the whole idea of like dating again?
It's really hard to wrap my head around that. But of course, I thought about that. And my friends make all kinds of jokes and stuff, you know. But I mean, that day will come regardless, because we are separated and we're allowed to do what we want to do right now. That's the way it is.
She would be the hottest thing on Raya. Are you on Raya? You should be on Raya.
Are you on Raya, Jan wants to know?
Oh my God, no. No, I'm not going on any dating apps, I can tell you that.
I really wish the best for you two. I really do. Like, no matter what happens, I really, like, I root for you the most. And I just want you to have happiness and peace and like somebody great that you deserve.
Thank you.
And I want all good things for Maurizio too, because I know that he's your friend and I know that he's the father of your kids. And, you know, I just want peace for you guys, because I really do. I always, always root for you.
Thank you. That's really sweet. And I really appreciate that.
I want to ask you some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills rapid fire questions. Jan, may I? May I get into the rapid fire?
Yeah, go for it.
Here we go. Do you miss having Lisa Rinna on the show?
Yes.
Are you still friends?
Yes.
I don't even want to ask this question.
I'll ask it.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Who's on Ozempic?
I don't think anyone on our cast is. And
What about Erica? There's no way she hit menopause.
It's impossible that Erica lost weight in menopause, because Jan watched me gain 12 pounds in menopause.
No, no. I think, honestly, she misspoke when she said that. First of all, let me clarify with me. I've never done that. I've never taken
I don't think you have.
Alcohol, sugar, carbs, I immediately dropped a lot of weight. Plus, I had a breast reduction going from a double D to a small C, which really changes the way your body looks. So, and that was
Who did that?
Dr. Steven Teitelbaum in Santa Monica.
Is that a good doctor?
Yes, and I never had implants, and I still don't.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I would like to go from a double A long to an A.
To an A short?
To a regular A short.
I think she's asking about a breast doctor to reduce.
But they can, if he can reduce, he can put in, right? Am I wrong?
I would do anything to have little boobs like that. Just be happy.
Trust me.
Okay, no, I'm just going to say that when Erica said the hormone thing, I think people were really confused by that. She was not saying she lost weight because she went through menopause. She was having symptoms of menopause, which, yes, include all those things you talk about. And she went and had all of her hormones balanced.
Mm. Mm. So she went on like HRT, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So going doing that, and that makes all the difference in the world.
What's going on with Denise Richards? She was just on my show today, and she was great. But you know, when she did her cameo, her pop-in cameo, she didn't seem well. Is everything okay? Do you keep in touch with her at all?
You saw her recently. Was her jacket on upside down? Or was
no, her dress was on right side up and everything looked great.
Listen, I'm not close with Denise by any means. I was happy that she showed up and I thought it was like really great television. So thank you for that, Denise.
It was wild. It was definitely wild. Well,
I actually walked her out and put her in her car. So, you know, I was like, she's not going to be happy with the situation. But for the time that she was there, it was really great television. So thank you for that, Denise.
Who's your dream castmate? Like, if you could cast one person.
I have a new one that I think.
Okay.
Well, she lives in New York, but maybe she would move.
That's okay. Everybody's transitional.
I'm scared I'm going to mispronounce her name, but I think it's kind of fitting for the situation. Hilaria Baldwin.
Oh. I mean, I
they're looking for a reality show. He told us they're looking for.
Wait, that's right. Wait a minute. Hang on. Alec Baldwin on this here podcast said they are looking for a reality show.
I told them, I saw him in New York, I don't know, it was a couple years back, and I said something about it then. And then I was like, he's like, oh, we're living in New York, but you never, I don't know. He said something about her liking LA, and I was like, well, the door's open.
Yeah, Jan's calling Andy right now as we speak to get, that would be amazing television.
Yeah.
Which celebrity has surprised you as a Bravo super fan?
Well, my most recent one,
yeah.
Rihanna.
Oh, Rihanna. That's a good one.
Yeah. So she was in Kemosabe when I was in Aspen. It was actually closed, Kemosabe. And I was heading home and I saw there was a light on and I was like, oh, I need to get something from there. And I knew they would open the door for me. Right. So I like knocked and they're like, oh, it's Kyle. And I saw them like saying something like, what do we are? And I was like, what's going on? So they let me in and then they're like, what's going on? I said, oh, I wanted to pick up this thing here. Da, da, da. And I said, who's upstairs? There was like music. And they're like, it's Rihanna. So they had, it was closed for her because it was like 9:30 at night. And I was like, oh, well, will you tell her? I know that she's a fan of the show because she stopped my daughter once and tapped my daughter on the shoulder. And she was with a group of her friends and my daughter turned around. It was Rihanna. And she said, I just want you to know that I'm obsessed with you and your family and I love you guys so much. And my daughter started crying.
My daughter would have had a stroke. Like my daughter would have had a stroke.
So I never forgot how sweet that was. So she went up and told her Kyle's here. And then she came down and said, she said, she's the only reason I'm here right now. Send her up. So I went up there. She was so sweet. She was giving me all kinds of amazing advice about my marriage, the women, how we're handling things. And she was the cutest thing. And my daughters came up. And
what did she say? Did she say, like, bitch, better have my money? Or give me, like, what?
Where have you been all my life? Where have
I never told anybody this. But she said something that was so amazing to me. And I was like, oh, my God. She said, next time one of these women want to know all the details of the intimacies of your marriage, tell them, why do I need to give you the blueprint to my home when I've already renovated?
Ooh. That wordsmith Rihanna.
Oh my gosh. But I don't know if that's bad or repeated it or not, but I was like,
I love that.
This woman is so smart. She's such a woman's woman.
Yeah.
She was like so incredibly supportive and sweet and just such a beautiful, person, just inside and out.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'll show you something new that I got that this is exciting for me. Look at this new little.
Oh, is that a new tattoo?
It's a hat. A cowboy hat.
Oh my gosh, that is so cute. I love that. Jan said, what's the meaning behind it? What's the meaning behind that cowboy hat?
I love cowboy hats.
I'm going to get I Love Kyle Richards tattooed on my fake tits when I get them from Dr. What's his name?
Santa Monica. Santa Monica.
Go from double A long to double A short. Have them put a little I Heart Kyle Richards, please.
I Heart Kyle Richards. I could do it underneath right now and nobody would ever see it. Just flap. It'll just flap over. So it's been there all along. Kyle, thank you so much for talking to us. We really appreciate it. And we adore you and we wish you all the best.
I appreciate that so much. You as well.
Bye, Kyle. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye. Guys, she was great.
She was great.
That was an amazing podcast.
Unbelievable.
I feel bad. I heard that, you know, her best friend had died from suicide, right?
Yeah.
And they talked about that on the show. But
I have such a hard time bringing that up.
But no, nor should you. But I will say this, like, listen, you know I'm the most honest person. So for any of these listeners, whatever, my mom died from suicide. And I will say it does snap your perspective as to what is important in life and what's not. When someone that close to you, it just all of a sudden you just certain things just aren't important anymore. Mm-hmm. And it does really focus you. And so I understand why that was a pivotal point for her, you know, in terms of like her marriage, her life, her friends, kind of even her, she's taken her health so seriously. Like that completely makes sense for me. Mm-hmm. And also just having some sort of control when there's no other control, like you're controlling, you get to control these things when in a world like with something with suicide and obviously, you know, people who would commit suicide, what, you know, their ups and downs leading up to that point. It's like when there's no control, like to be able to have some control over things. Like I immediately went to like my health and fitness, like right after that happened with my mom. Yeah. So I get that.
I
get that completely.
Yeah. And it's a really, that need to control something is really, I think, the big takeaway. I remember watching you like run it out.
Yeah.
You were running it out.
Yeah. But I love her. I think she's awesome. And however it ends, you know, however they end, whether together or apart, you know, I wish them luck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody has to rate us.
Oh,
tell
yes.
their friends about us.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting to it. Hang on a second, Jim. You're going to love this when I get to it. When I finally get to it, you're going to love it. Aha.
She found it.
Found it in my notes. Well, that's it, everybody. I don't know what more you want from us.
That was a lot.
Be sure to tell your friends about us. And don't forget to rate us. Give us 5 stars. Jan said 5 stars are mandatory
yes.
if you want to rate our humble podcast.
Peace out.
Peace out, y'all. Can't wait to talk off camera next week. Bye.
Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa is a production of Melojo Productions with help from Goat Rodeo. Our theme song is Follow Me from APM Music. From Melojo, our team is Kelly Ripa, Mark Consuelos, Albert Bianchini, Jan Chalet, Devin Schneider, Michael Halpern, Jacob Small, Roz Therian, Seth Gronquist, and Julia Desch from Goat Rodeo. Our team is Kara Schillen, Megan Nadolski, Max Johnston, Isabel Kirby McGowan, and Rebecca Seidel. Additional sound design by Terrence Bernardo. This show is powered by Stitcher.